Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome back to the Road Ahead Cafe. I'm your host, Rick Gabrielli, and I'm here with change facilitator Frank Vandenhorst and mindfulness coach Peter M. Fellows. And in this week's episode, you asked us, what can I do to better handle regret? Peter, can you tell us something about what you'll be sharing?
Thanks, Rick. Great to be back with my two compadres. Before we met, I was just a lone voice crying in the wilderness. Now I'm crying in public. Is this progress? You decide. So today I'm going to tell you about two types of regret, missed opportunities and transgressions, and why regret is actually a good thing, Rick.
Thank you, Peter. Great stuff. Frank, how about you?
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean that. How often do we say that? Even we teach it our children because it's seen as a sign of being well brought up, politeness. If it is based on sincere self-reflection or empathy, it helps to make the somewhat difficult relations smoother and maybe better. As such, it's a valuable thing to do. But what is the psychological impact of being regretful on you as a person? Do you want to know more? Stay tuned. You won't regret it.
Thank you, Frank. So what I'll be sharing is, my late brother Vince always said, we grow old when regrets take the place of dreams. And I'll share a few ways you can use your life force to stay inspired instead of feeling regretful. All right, what do you have for us today, Peter?
All right, thank you, Rick. When you feel regret about something, that's not actually you regretting something from your past. What you're feeling are the chemicals that have been dumped into your body when your conditioned brain, or Dobby, as I call him, her, made the judgment that some prior condition action event has or will devalue your self-worth. Gotta love Dobby's devotion to protecting you, your sense of self, your value as a person. But realize it's Dobby's perception of what has happened that causes that bad feeling of regret. It's not the actual conditions, actions, or events themselves. If Dobby perceived things differently, there wouldn't be any feeling of regret. Not Dobby's fault, though. It's just the way he, she got conditioned to see things over the course of your life. One of your brain's functions is to build up and sustain your sense of self, your self-worth, your value. And Dobby's always calculating whether this or that will cost or gain what I call value points. Say you accidentally dropped a candy bar wrapper on the sidewalk as you were rushing back to work, and you didn't stop to pick it up. While Dobby regrets not picking up the wrapper because seeing you as a litterer, you know, that devalues your self-worth. Dobby takes a quick look around to see if anyone else noticed what happened, because that would cost even more value points. No one seems to have noticed, which is good for your points. But Dobby noticed, and he tries to rationalize his action. Well, I would have gone back and picked it up, but there was no trash receptacle nearby, which is ridiculous. I don't know why they shouldn't have a trash receptacle nearby. They should have done that. And that would have made me late for work anyway, which would be rude to the people I'm meeting. And it's not like the street wasn't already covered with litter. And why aren't they cleaning up the streets properly anymore? All of that stuff, obsessive rationalization, is often the companion of regret. So there's two types of regret. Well, there's probably more, but I'm only clever enough to think of two right now. One is regret for a missed opportunity. Oh, you wished you'd gone to college. You wish you'd backpacked through Europe. You wished you'd invested in Apple stock when it was not very expensive. And the other is regret over a transgression. You wish you'd never said that cutting remark. You wish you hadn't excluded that kid from your club. You wish you hadn't littered with that candy bar wrapper. We call the kind of regret that arises from transgression guilt. Some would say it's the worst feeling. I want you to know, though, that, you know, guilt, all regret really, but guilt is your friend. and it's useful. It's even a good thing. Now, if you've ever felt guilt, then you might not think it's a good thing, but it is. Regret is your wake-up alarm. Some mystics say we wander through our lives in a state of hypnotic sleep, and it's because of that that we do the same dumb things over and over again. Do you know anyone who repeats the same mistake in every relationship they have, right? She's going on with the same type of guy again. I can't believe it. She's doing the same thing again. Regret is supposed to wake you up. It's supposed to sound like an alarm to tell you, hey, wake up. Don't do that again. You feel the guilt, feel the regret. Many wake-up alarms are unpleasant, but they serve a purpose. They get you up on time. But if you just complain about the pain or regret, paying no attention to what the message of the alarm is, you're like the person lying in bed complaining how you can't sleep because of the noise of the alarm. Yeah, you're supposed to get up. So what you do instead, you ask the Pathfinder's question. You don't have to try and change Dobby's conditioning. All you do is ask the Pathfinder's question. And when that happens, change happens by itself. When you ask the Pathfinder's question, you redirect Dobby's attention from the quagmire of regret to the guidance which can provide you with the best path forward to flow and fulfillment. Once when I was bogged down in regret, my Pathfinder said to me, you do the best you can, and sometimes you miss the mark. That's life in a nutshell. You might not always get it right, but you can always end up all right. And that's what Dobby learns when you help him or her turn over his or her regrets. Pathfinder's wisdom. Don't blame Dobby for how he got conditioned to see the world. As my Pathfinder said, everybody always does the best they can. Show a little compassion for him, her, and redirect his, her attention. Say something like, I wonder what Pathfinder could do to make this better. Let's just have a look. Then ask the Pathfinder's question, where is the best path forward here to flow and fulfillment? And see what Pathfinder comes up with. I know where that path is right now. It leads to my friend Frank through Rick. Rick?
Great stuff, Peter. Thank you. Frank, tell us what you have for us.
What can I do to better handle regret? Well, the answer is simple and in the meantime, quite difficult. Don't do stupid things. We live, we think, we feel, we act, react, and experience the results of our actions. It's the process of life, isn't it? I would like to rephrase the question a bit. How can I prevent that I will feel the need to say sorry and be regretful about something I did? Think twice before you do stupid things, Frank. My parents would say, yes, Dad, yes, Mom, and I went my way. She was right when I didn't think twice all the time, even not now. I just did tease my sister by hiding her favorite doll. You can imagine what happened when she found out. No fun indeed. You can handle regret better by preventing you need to be regretful. It has to do with three things. One, awareness. Second, anticipation. And third, empathy. Let's start with self-awareness. Learning from past mistakes isn't that easy for most people. The ego will block it and but once you tiptoe around it, applying the Kaizen techniques I talked about in previous episodes, you're able to observe yourself. Self-observation is enhancing your self-awareness. The Pathfinder's question is helping you. A question that helps you to heighten your self-awareness is this one. What is happening right now? Just be silent and observe. Difficult already, but just try it. Listen, feel, and don't act. Don't judge. Just by doing so, your ego will go dormant, what will emerge are your conditioned automatic response patterns, or CARPs. Recognize these CARPs are a great value for your personal growth. Teasing my sister was fun until I was teased. Mm. Why did I do it while I knew she didn't like it? Ah, just kids, you might say. All kids do it. Do they? Are you born as a teaser, or did you learn it from someone and copied it? Repeating someone else's behavior and acting on it makes you into and make it into your own, not being aware of that it is you who do this. It becomes a habit, and a habit is a carb, a conditioned automatic response pattern. Number two, anticipation. If you are self-aware, you start to detect your carbs. A voice in your head starts to ask you a question like, Frank, is this really what you want to say or do? Anticipate a situation. In business, we call it scenario thinking. It is the what ifs. Think about the hurricane season, for instance, in the US. Are you preparing for it or not? I hope you do. Number three, empathy. In being considerate about what might be the impact of your doing, you are becoming more empathetic. My sister didn't like to be teased, neither did I. We both didn't like the pain and anguish. My parents talked about it with us, and we stopped doing it gradually, I have to admit. We didn't have to be regretful that often anymore. Rick, what about you? Being regretful or not?
Thank you, Frank. Very much so. And I learned to be a great teaser. Here's what I want to share today. Way back in 1982, I visited my brother Vince's office, and above his desk, he had a handwritten note that said, "We grow old when regrets take the place of dreams." In fact, it was posted there right up to his passing on August 5th of this year. I remember asking him about it, and he explained that we have two choices each day. One, we can look back and regret not having done something, or perhaps dwelling on that mistake we made, or saying something we shouldn't have. Or two, we can look ahead, recalibrate, change direction, say I'm sorry and I love you. We can take the new job, create that new community with two friends, making our own world and the world around us new again. I always say, a better world begins with the next word I write. What do you dream of doing next? Do that thing, and you'll kiss regret goodbye. Peter, final thoughts?
Very nice, very nice. Well, I should say, you know, the other side of the coin, there are some things in life so fulfilling, some decisions you make, that you never regret doing them. Marrying my wife, Jeannie, moving to America, buying the house I live in, and forming a partnership with Rick and Frank. Because Rick and Frank and I draw water from the same well. We are empowered by the drive to provide the most help to the most people. And that's how we came to be building The Source, our online coaching center. The Source is going to be a virtual place that you can come anytime you want, company, support, coaching, or to share your personal victories with people who care about you. You'll find Rick, Frank, and I there offering the same wit and wisdom that we serve up every week on this podcast, but the focus will be upon you. What's going on for you today, right now, in your life? It's a little bit Spartan right now at The Source, but as you join in and share your challenges and compassion, The Source will evolve to serve our mission of providing the most help to the most people. So check it out on theroadaheadcafe.com. You won't regret it, right? Talk to you again next week, Rick.
Great stuff, Peter. Frank, your final thoughts?
Yes, I cannot add anything what Peter just said, but I have a few things. Focus on three things. Recognize and acknowledge your conditioned automatic response patterns that are blocking you. By increasing your self-awareness, become aware of your dubby stuff, and become an observer of your thoughts and feelings. Anticipate situations that might get you in an unpleasant action-reaction mode. Some people know exactly which buttons to press to get you react in a way you might regret later. Be aware of this. Know your carbs. Be empathetic. Focus on behavior that you don't like and not on the person. Don't make it personally. We talked about it in an earlier episode. As Marshall B. Rosenberg says in his outstanding book, Nonviolent Communication is the Language of Life, behind intimidating messages are merely people appealing to us to meet their needs. Put regret in the garbage container and leave it there. And join us at the source. Rick.
Wow. Whew, mic dropping, Frank. Thank you. So my final thoughts, doing the next big thing or even the small thing ignites the creative dreamer in you. And that is just the place you belong. I'd love to know what you're planning next. And I believe in you. Join us at the source and see what's cooking here. Thank you for joining us today for the Road Ahead Cafe. Remember, if you like us, subscribe. If you love us, make a quick selfie video right now to tell us why. Don't be shy. We look forward to getting together with you again next week. Until then, savor your day today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.